Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're having a great Tuesday, a better Tuesday than yours truly, who legit, just before I went live, found out that the Brewers game is rained out at Citi Field tonight. Although I am happy to have learned that prior to leaving for the ballpark. Bummer, man. I was really looking forward to the Brew Crew at Citi Field tonight, but apparently they'll play a doubleheader tomorrow, and maybe, just maybe, I might make my way over there. This does impact us here at Cheesehead TV in a little way, because that probably means I need to move happy hour, which was supposed to be tomorrow night, but now we'll most likely move to Thursday night. I'll sort all that out on Patreon and here on the YouTube post after I get done here. Just a little heads up for you all, depending on what ends up scheduling tomorrow with the Brewers. Anyway. How y'all doing? Happy July. It's July. We're officially in the month where the Packers will put pads on and start hitting and getting ready for the 2025 season. That's right. July 23rd is the first day of training camp practices. 5 days after that, we'll get our first padded practice, and away we go. I'm so excited. Very excited. Very excited to follow along with all of you Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. And one of the things I'm most looking forward to this year is hopefully, and I obviously don't have any inside information on this, but I'm hoping that there is a return or maybe a new renewed emphasis on the wide zone running scheme in the Green Bay Packers offense. Something that we saw not disappear last year, but something that was not as prevalent. I do think Jordan Love's injuries played a part here as far as what they were asking their quarterback to do, both, you know, under center, turning, lunging, running, etc. On repeat, so to speak, and something that they thought where they knew they could take advantage of Josh Jacobs' ability in the power game, the gap scheme stuff that we saw a lot of last year. But it's not like Jacobs can't run zone, especially wide zone, where Jordan Love made a lot of hay the season before with Aaron Jones behind him down that stretch run where we saw a real amazing kind of stretch of play from Jordan Love. I'm not saying the wide zone is the answer, it's going to unlock everything, but it certainly was a component to Jordan Love's success back in 2023. And I'm hoping that this year, and I know they've gotten a bit bigger along the offensive line, but that doesn't mean that guys like Banks or Elgton Jenkins at center can't still compete and work the wide zone stuff that, like I said, was a pretty significant contributor to not just, you know, getting Jordan Love on out on a boot or some kind of traditional thing like that, but just a lot of the marrying of plays and making them all look the same. We saw a lot of that down the stretch in 2023, where you didn't know if Jordan Love was going to hand that ball off or pull it and, you know, either rise up and fire or get outside the pocket and make something happen. I do think we should, hopefully, with a healthy Jordan Love, see a bit more of that again in LaFleur's offense. Now, I don't think it'll become a staple with Jacobs at your lead back spot. I don't think that is his best kind of use, but I know he can do it, and I know it can help their quarterback. So certainly got to think Marshawn Lloyd will play into that a little bit. Hopefully they can work that with him as well, but really it's about getting Jordan Love going again in the play action game, which is something I know we've talked about it a lot here. Matt LaFleur talked about it at a season-ending press conference. There's a lot of layers and things that go into it. There's a lot of kind of, I don't want to say complicated context, but there's a lot of context there. But a big component to getting Jordan Love in rhythm, which we all know he's a very rhythmic passer, getting back to that wide zone stuff. And we'll see if that's a major component of the playbook this year or not. But I suspect, hopefully, again, with a healthy Jordan Love, that is something we'll see at least a little bit more of in 2025. Hello, everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. People chiming in. Dennis is here, of course. Hi, Dennis. How are you? Before we get going, of course, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King, based in Wisconsin. Since when, people? Tell me. You know the answer. That's right. Since the early 90s. Since 1992, to be exact. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed in the description of this video. And if, you know, you're thinking about using Ticketmaster or StubHub or SeatGeek, what are you doing? Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. What's going on, everybody? Stu is here saying football. People calling me while I'm live? What, are they crazy? It's always my daughters. My daughters, you know, how many times do I have to tell them? I usually go live at 5 o'clock, most Monday through Friday. And almost to a call, I can guarantee that if someone's calling me while I'm live, it's probably one of my daughters. They just don't pay attention or care, which is kind of funny. Joe, what's up? TJ Watt available? No, Joe. TJ Watt is not available. I understand there's been a lot of reporting around a somewhat of a stalemate between, you know, the Steelers and TJ Watt and the contract, etc. Didn't he just have a hold in, by the way? Like, I just love it. No, he's not available. Long way to go before they even probably sit down and talk, because it's the middle of the offseason and there's really no deadline or kind of impetus to get things done right now. But yeah, no, they will get that sorted out. They didn't put together this veteran-laden team with an eye towards trying to make a run at the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers to then trade away their best player. That is not the gig in Pittsburgh. So no, TJ Watt, not available. I'm sorry that the internet may have suggested otherwise, because that's what the internet does. Maximilian, what up? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. Can you elaborate on the difference in skill sets between Jacobs and Jones as it applies to the wide zone runs? A lot of it is about footwork and vision and cutback ability, whereas Jacobs is a great downhill runner, as far as you saw a lot last year between the tackles, especially where you've got a gap that you're supposed to hit and the development of the run blocking, so to speak, much more kind of power oriented. He does a good job of having patience. And then when that crease and or gap opens up, he barrels through it, right? He's got very good feel in that regard. He had to do a lot of work while being hit at or behind the line of scrimmage last year, which I'm sure is something they want to improve upon, obviously, with the addition of Banks, moving Elton to center. There's certainly a case to be made that that's probably going to be a focus, as far as way too many times he had to kind of make something out of nothing, right? Whereas with Aaron, he was just tailor-made, really, for the stretch zone where, and I'll never forget, this is true, I had Ryan Grant talk to me about zone blocking schemes and running in a zone blocking scheme. Years ago, we were walking down Fifth Avenue here in New York, and he talked to me for 20 minutes about how, because something that I certainly was guilty of back in the day and still sometimes get frustrated by is when you see a running back, especially in a zone scheme where it's kind of stretched out towards the sideline, right? And a back will sometimes run into the backs of his linemen, right? Like, that's a constant thing that people complain about. They go, how can you do it, etc. The back is taught to hit an aiming point in the zone scheme. And then as things kind of develop up in front of them, you will basically hit that mark, and then there will come basically a decision point where you're either keeping it front side. And this, by the way, is a 1,000,000,000% dumbed down, like very bare bones version of what Ryan told me and what I've talked to coaches about. But there will become a point where you either keep it front side, or which means you keep going on that path, or you find the cutback lane. You put your foot in the ground and you get upfield as fast as you can. You'll see that a lot. I'm sure you've seen plenty of plays where the line is flowing right to one side, and then the back will put his foot and then get upfield as fast as he can, kind of behind the swath of humanity, for lack of a better term. Aaron just had an innate ability in that regard. And again, patience, setting up the blocks, something that both of those backs, I think, both Jacobs and Jones, are very, very good at. Aaron also did an excellent job at getting skinny and making lots of stuff happen when there wasn't a whole lot there. Whereas Jacobs, really kind of barrels through people, right? And it's not that he can't make moves or doesn't have vision. He totally does. But Jones, where he really excelled at times, was getting skinny through a hole where it didn't look like there was much there, but he found a crease and got through it. And, you know, it's not like, again, it's not like Jones can't do that. Or I'm sorry, Jacobs can't do that. He can. Jones was exemplary at it. Whereas with Jacobs, I think an underrated part of Aaron Jones' game was his power. He was way more powerful than I think people gave him credit for. But Jacobs is on a whole nother level, right? Running through contact, making guys miss in space. He does an excellent job of that. You can see that in the passing game and in the running game. They're different backs, no doubt about it. They're both excellent. But I think one is just more suited to a certain scheme than the other. Mimsy, what's up? Thought the title was Wildy's Own World. Guest? It's funny you say that, Mimsy. I did kind of reach out to Jason a couple weeks ago about coming on and just chatting about the prospects for the Packers in 2025, and he's amiable to it. So hopefully, before the start of camp, we will have Jason on here at Cheesehead TV, and we'll shoot the shit a little bit. It'll be a lot of fun. Ed, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Have you ever talked about or talked to whoever takes care of the fields at Lambeau about what they do these days to keep the field playoff ready? Ed, I have not. I know there have been a few articles written about this very subject. Never met the gentleman in charge of the fields, both at Lambeau and Reinicke and et cetera. But yeah, he does a very good job, and he is excellent at his craft. Of that, we can all agree. Klaus, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Can we have a Carry the G jingle, please? Thank you for your good work. You know, I'm a DJ, right? I do DJ off and on. DJ Dad is my name that I go under. And every once in a while, I get kind of irked or upset when people have requests. But this is a request I can always abide by.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Never get tired of it. Always love it. And speaking of Carry the G, we are, I want to say, a little under a month before Carry the G is back on shelves across the great state of Wisconsin and in a few cities just across the border. So be on the lookout. It's on its way, buddies. Let's go. Ryan, what's up, man? I wish Goody was in go-for-it mode. I'm tired of short playoff runs. He was in go-for-it mode when he re-signed everybody and kept the band together, kicked the can down the street. They came up short. Aaron Rodgers threw it at Devontae Adams' feet rather than trying to run for a touchdown. That was it. That was your shot at the Super Bowl. The first time they were in, quote, go-for-it mode. Right now, they've ripped the Band-Aid off, gone to a new quarterback, built up the youngest team in the league, and now hopefully are set for a run of attempts at winning a championship rather than go-for-it mode, miss out on that. And then, oh, if that's what you're looking for, please, by all means, go be a Saints fan. That's what they tried to do with Drew Brees. They tried to go for it, and now they're in hell. I prefer the Packers' way of operating. That's just me. That's just how I roll. Rob Kress, I like it. Random Packer, Big Dog. Man, Big Dog's a legend. Absolute legend. Mm-hmm. Oh, J-Rock trying to get me into trouble here. If you could only sign Goody or Matt LaFleur to another contract and it was based purely on merit, who would you re-sign and why? Well, I would talk to both, obviously, about their strengths and weaknesses, and then I would change the power structure and hire Goody as my head of football slash general manager and give him the decision as to whether he wanted to retain Matt LaFleur and or move on. There you go. Hey, how you like that? That's how I would do it. I'd go back to the Ron Wolf model. Because I'm a creature of habit, and that's how I grew up, and that's, you know, the way I liked it. But it ain't that way no more. It's hot in Iowa. Bill, guess what? It's hot in New York. Man, it is like 90 degrees, and we're about to get thunderstorms and rain, and it's not supposed to change the temperature at all. So now it's going to be hot and wet and gross. Thankfully, the AC is working really well. here at the Nagler Estate. So that's good. Joe, thanks again, buddy. Josh Jacobs with 301 carries in 2024. He had 300 plus carries in 2022 and was hurt a lot in 2023. Does Matt LaFleur cut back his carries a bit to be sure he lasts? I do think there will be an element there as far as, especially if they get what they expect out of Marshawn Lloyd. I don't think you're ever going to truly like limit Jacobs because he's such, you know, an engine on offense for this team. But I do think, yeah, they're going to see maybe slight stretches. Nothing like we saw when Aaron Jones was in town and mysteriously would end up on the sideline for multiple, you know, drives. But I do think there's got to be some consideration there, right? Now, that said, I know he was nicked up that year, no doubt after the big workload season, but his offensive line was also a bit of a mess that year as well. So, you know, I take some of that with a grain of salt. And I do think, like I said, I think there will be some mitigation of the workload, but not, you know, a complete kind of dialing back of his involvement on offense. Let me see. Joe, what's up, man? The same people who say Green Bay should go all in would also be the same people complaining the team is 6-11 for multiple seasons as they pay the draft pick / salary cap consequences. I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about with the Saints, but yeah, you're right. Absolutely. But look, I get it. It's human nature, right? If the same thing keeps happening, you get a little frustrated and tired of it, and you want some other kind of result and another way of working to achieve it. So Ryan and I are never going to see eye to eye in this regard, but I appreciate Ryan's viewpoint. Like, I get why people think that way, or fans are, you know, discontented or frustrated or whatever. I get it, man. A 1,000% get it. But I prefer the Packers' way of working. That's just me. It's just how I roll. Bo, thanks for checking out the stream, man. Will or have Love and the receivers gotten together for workouts this offseason, or is that practice overrated? Well, I know Aaron Rodgers says it's overrated. I know some of them work out together in California. I don't think it's an organized Packers thing, but there are some guys I believe that Jordan works out with at times, but I don't think there's been some kind of concerted effort to get them together for a Packers throwing session or anything like that, which is fine. You know, I think it's great if you do. I don't think it kills or hurts anything if you don't. You know, I do think they get plenty of time on task, both in the offseason program and especially during training camp, that, you know, if you get together and do it, great. But I don't think you're losing anything if you don't. I do think it's something that over the years, and I've talked about this a bunch here on this channel over the multiple years that I've been doing this, it's great fodder for fan bases, and the media eats it up. Like, you love to see it. You love seeing guys working out together in the offseason. But ultimately, again, and this is what Aaron used to talk about, like, it doesn't translate incredibly to actual football, real regular season stuff that they're doing, right? The stuff they do in practice at training camp, yeah, that's very important because they're playing football. But guys in shorts in California in June, you know, yeah, it's great. Again, the camaraderie, getting close-knit, I love all that. But ultimately, long-term, it's mostly just great kind of PR more than anything else, which is fine. Joe, what's the worst month and why is it July? Okay. I don't know if it's the worst month, but man, yeah, it's saved by the fact that training camp starts. That's what saves July. Also, my daughter's birthday, Violet's birthday, is in July. But other than that, I'm with you, man. I am with you. Michael, thanks for Super Chat, man. How are you feeling about the interior of the offensive line going into 2025? I'm fascinated to see what happens at right guard. Obviously, right now, sitting here July 1st, the question is, are we including Elgton Jenkins in the scenario? I tend to think he will get it figured out and they will get him in the fold, etc. Man, you can never say never as far as whatever problems they're having contractually. But I think with Elgton at center, the big question obviously is who wins the right guard job. I feel pretty damn good regardless of who wins it. If it's Sean Ryan, hell, even if it's Jacob Monk, I feel really good about the interior of Banks, Elgton Jenkins, and then pick a guy at right guard. I think they've got a lot of talent. I do think the sooner they can sort that out, the better. I know Matt loves his best five stuff and loves to keep it going right through the end of camp. But I do think if they can solidify a group prior to, say, the second preseason game and get these guys reps together as a group sooner rather than later, the better off they're going to be. That's just me as an old head. But yeah, I feel very strong. And I do think something I was talking about at the start of this stream, I do think a big component here is hopefully finding a group, a trio that works really well in the power slash gap stuff that allows Josh Jacobs to get going and get ahead of steam a little bit more rather than constantly having to fight through contact, deal with linebackers crashing, etc. Hopefully these three, whoever that might be, end up just giving him a little bit more, you know, just a little bit more room to operate. That's my hope anyway. Brandon, thanks for the super chat, man. Off-season debate, friends and I. Do teams issue email addresses to each other? What other menial office stuff do they do not do? Well, they have a, you know, I won't call it a Facebook, but they certainly have a contact list for everybody on the team. And I do believe they get contact information for their position coaches, and the coaching staff, and things like that. They're not given, like, you know, Ed Policy's home number or anything like that. But as far as other menial office stuff, I don't know, man. They you know, they take away their iPads. Not take away. I mean, the guys take the iPads out of the facility. I don't know how much monitoring goes on by the coaching staff, although that's an interesting question. But yeah, nothing else like really leaps to mind. For once the guys are gone, they're gone. Abdul, how are you, man? Haven't seen you in a while. Hey, Aaron, when do you applaud players for playing through injuries, love, versus saying you get judged by what you put between the two lines, LVN? It's, I mean, it's really down to the to whoever you are as far as how you fan, right? Man, it's tough because your last part is spot on. And that goes, you know, to, I can go all the way back to like Atari Bigby and some kind of bad stretch of play that he had. And then it came out that next offseason that he had been dealing with something for like months that no one knew about. It was never on the injury report, but everyone was like, well, now we understand why you had that bad stretch. But it's like, yeah, but you still played and you're judged by what you put on film. To the LVN thing. Like, I know we're all very hopeful that, oh, yes, he was dealing with this hand injury, and now he's going to hopefully turn it on and show great ability to shed attempted blocks and use his hands in a great manner. And I'm all for it, but I got to see it, you know? The fact that he's out there, though, and I do think there can be a world where you can do both of these things, right? Like, I love to see guys fighting through injuries. I mean, that's what you want to see. And I know there comes a moment maybe in time where you're like, okay, are we doing more harm than good? But I also think that's a real good maybe indication of why he was on the field so little during obvious passing downs, because they knew what he was fighting through. We didn't, right? Because that's something I've hammered home. If you've been watching this channel for any length of time, you know, one of the things that has bugged the hell out of me with LVN, especially last year, is how little he was on the field. Like, he was getting out snapped by almost everybody at his position. Now this makes a little more sense, right? But still, when you get on the field and you put that tape on, you are going to be judged. It's no different than Jordan Love, as far as we was fighting through a number of injuries, right? But you cannot deny that there was not as much production, that the efficiency was down, especially on third and fourth down, where he was lights out in 2023. It's all part of the, you know, package, so to speak. It's all context for you to deal with as a fan. I think, like I said, you can do both. I think most of us are capable. You know, I love a player, especially a guy like Jordan, who's the face of the franchise, getting out there. And this happened with the Bucks a couple years ago. Baker Mayfield, or maybe it was when he was with the Browns. But I just remember, I think it was his last year with Cleveland. It was like he was clearly hurt and he was clearly playing through a shoulder injury. But he wanted to be out there. He wanted to play. He's like, I'm the starter. I'm going to play. I love that as a fan. Now, I get fans maybe get disgruntled by that. And maybe some fans did with Love last year, coming back admittedly, I think he even admitted, probably a little too early in that Vikings game, etc. But man, that's what I want in my leader. That's what I want in the face of my franchise. That's just me. Your mileage may vary, but I think, again, you can be cognizant of both of those things, right? Joe, you are 1,000,000,000% correct. Favre was the absolute poster child for receiving praise for playing through injuries, even when there were instances he shouldn't have been out there. There are others who don't get that pass. That's very, very, very true, man. Absolutely. All right, buddy. I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a favor. Hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. And a reminder, if you are a Patreon member or a Carry the G Club member, most likely I'm going to have to move Happy Hour from Wednesday to Thursday. So be on the lookout for that information. In the meantime, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.